I want to ask a question as we begin. Do you really, really believe it? Do you really, really believe it? Now, the answer to that question could be many, depending upon what the it is. Isn't that true? And when we answer a question, something that we fail to consider sometimes is that every answer to a question also is usually backed up with what I refer to as an emotional response as well. Sometimes that emotional response can be felt by others as we make the response, and sometimes that emotional response is hidden and is never really seen, but we know deep inside what our emotion is. Let me give you a couple of examples. Number one, do you really, really believe that 2 + 2 = 4? Now the answer to that question, I hope that everyone would say yes. Isn't that true? But you see, as we give the answer to that, there's also an emotional response to that. And the emotional response that most of us was had is surety, isn't it? Certainty, definiteness. 2 + 2 = 4. And there's absolutely no doubt in our mind about that. We would say it with just as much certainty as we possibly can. Let me give you another illustration. Do you really, really believe that it is wrong for someone to rob your house? Now the answer to that question, I think, in most people's minds would be yes. Isn't that true? It's wrong. It's not good. I locked my house. I didn't buy these things for someone to come and steal. So we would say, yes, it's wrong for someone to rob our house. But notice that behind the answer is our emotion, isn't it? We would answer that with certainty, but sometimes we would also answer it with a sense of anger and hostility, wouldn't we? Because we can see that individual busting into a window, breaking down a door, entering into our home, taking our valuable possessions with him. And we would say, is that wrong? And we would say, yes, that's wrong for him to steal my things. You see, there's an emotional response behind our answer. Now, I've said all that to ask another question. And the question that I want to ask is this. Do you really, really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Now, see, I see some heads bobbing in the audience. It's not because they're asleep. That's the way heads bob sometimes in worship services. But when I asked that question, some individuals started bobbing their heads. Yes, I really, really believe that Jesus is coming again. But folks, the reality is this. We also answer the question with an emotional response. And like I said, sometimes that emotional response in answer to that particular question can be different among different members of the church. You see, here are some of those emotional responses that we might have. We can answer it with certainty. Absolutely. I believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, and there's absolutely no doubt about that in my mind. Or we might answer it with somewhat of unbelief, mightn't we? Well, now we would say yes, but in our minds we would say, well, yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but it's been 2,000 years, and I don't really know. Maybe he will. There's that uncertainty. Some might answer it with fear, mightn't they? You see, they really don't want to hear about the second coming. If they're asked, oh yes, I believe it, but it stirs up emotions of fear of Jesus is coming back again and dealing with humanity, including themselves, and so there's fear there. Some might answer it with joy, mightn't they? I've heard about Jesus. I've read about him in his word. I was not privileged to meet him. I was not like the apostles who spent all of that time with him. And I just can't wait to meet my Savior. Yes, he's coming. And mention of that fills their hearts with joy because they're going to get to see the one who has loved them and who they love dearly and have never seen before. Some might answer with complete indifference. Yes, he's coming, but who cares? Not that big of a deal. You see, the emotional response is just as important, is it not, as the verbal response to this particular question. Now remember, we're still in 2017. Kevin was trying to get you to remember the theme for 2018. I'm trying to get you to hold on to the theme of 2017. I am resolved. And our lesson for the next few moments is very simply this. I am resolved to be prepared for the Lord's return. I want us to talk about 3 points very quickly. First, I want to talk about the certainty of our Lord's return. Every one of us in here would answer the question, is the Lord coming again? Yes. And the reason we say that is because the Bible teaches that, does it not? And it teaches it in numerous places. We go to John 14, verse 3, and Jesus says this, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus says he's coming again. In the parables of Jesus, he talks about his coming, does he not? We have a parable in John the 25th chapter in verse 19, known as the parable of the talents. And the Bible says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You see, he had taken a journey, had he not? Into a far country. And now he comes again and reckons with them. The second coming of our Lord. A little bit further in Matthew chapter 25 verse 31, Jesus is talking about the parable of what is referred to as the sheep and the goats. But he begins that parable with these words. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all of his holy angels with him, Jesus says, I'm coming again. But there are other writers who also talk about the second coming of Jesus. Luke does in Luke 1 verse 11. For there he records what the angels had to say to the apostles, does he not? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now we have angels saying that Jesus is coming again. Jesus says he's coming. Angel says he's coming. Folks, we could just keep on going with the passages that talk about the Lord's return, could we not? Paul affirms it in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Peter, in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 10. For the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. He's coming. There's no doubt about that. And John says it also in his writings in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, we also shall be like him. We shall see him. Folks, what does that mean? That means that when he comes again, we're going to put our eyes upon him. We're going to see him just as he is, and we're going to be just like him if we've been found faithful. There is absolutely no doubt that Jesus is coming again. It's certain. Now, with that teaching in the Bible, there's a second teaching that we find there. And that teaching is what I refer to as the cries of warning. The cries of warning. Jesus is coming again. And over in the pages of God's Word, there is one word that is used numerous times, and the word is simply this, watch. Watch. And the word simply means be ready, be prepared. I've listed just 3 passages. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, For ye know not the hour when the Son of Man cometh. We turn into Mark's gospel, and he records a teaching of Jesus in chapter 13, verse 35, and he says this, "Watch ye therefore, for in the hour in which ye think not, the master of the house cometh." And then he says this, "At even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning." Folks, we don't know when he's coming. And therefore, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, "Watch." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about the second coming of Jesus. And in verse 6, he says this, "Let us not sleep as others do." And then he says this, "But let us watch and be sober." So you see, over and over, the Bible affirms that Jesus is coming. And over, what does it tell us to do? Watch. Be ready. There's absolutely no doubt that He's coming. You need to be prepared for that. And that leads me to my third point. My third point is this. The concern. While ago, I asked you a question in the introduction of this lesson. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Let me ask you a question now. When you answered the question with a yes, what was your emotional response to that? And I mean, be gut honest. Most of the time, we just answer with certainty, don't we? And very little else is thought about it. Yep, He's coming. I know He's coming. Our number one emotion that we should feel about the Lord's coming is concern, folks. Notice I didn't say worry. I didn't say go home and worry yourself sick about His coming. But when I hear that the Lord is coming, the one thing that I ought to be thinking constantly is I'm concerned about that, because when He comes, what? I want to be ready. Don't you? And I need to be deeply concerned that I'm ready at every moment when those skies open and our Lord Jesus Christ descends from heaven. I want to be ready. You see, concern causes people to prepare, doesn't it? I know a lot of individuals who have acted out of concern and have prepared for various things. Every one of us have gone through school, and we knew that a test was on a certain day. We were concerned about the test, and guess what we did? We prepared, didn't we? Many of us have had to go out into the workforce, and in order to get a job, we knew that we were going to face a job interview. And in order to do well in that job interview, we had to prepare ourselves, didn't we? We learned something about the company. We learned something about the questions that they're going to ask and the responses that those individuals were wanting from us. And we prepared ourselves for that. Individuals have owned businesses, and those businesses oftentimes have inspections. Inspections by the big boys. Individuals who can come into our company and shut us down, and we know that they're coming. And what do? We are prepared, aren't we, for that. Some of our members, in fact, many of our members have been in the military. And my friends, what is it that they prepare you for when you go through basic training and other training? You are prepared for war, aren't you? That's what they're preparing you for, mentally, for warfare. You see, we understand what it means to be concerned about something and then prepare for that very thing. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. I know that. I need to be concerned about that, and I need to prepare for that. So that then leads to this. What do you and I really need to be doing in order to be ready when Jesus comes? You see, it's right here that I can spend the next hour and 15 minutes. Because there's a lot we can do. I want to talk about six things very briefly. Number one, continue in prayer. In Colossians 4:2, Paul says, continuing instant in prayer. And watch what he says. Watching in the same with thanksgiving. Did you hear what he said? Watching in the same with thanksgiving. Folks, when you and I go to God in prayer, you and I always need to remember that one element of our watching for Jesus is our prayer life. It's there that we receive forgiveness, is it not? It's there that we ask God for strength. It's there that we ask God to be a part of our lives and to help us to make the walk that we need to walk in order to be faithful to Him. So make certain that your prayer life is wonderful as we enter into 2018 and as you watch for the return of Jesus. Notice secondly, we need to be strong and faithful. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye. That's how he begins that statement. Watch ye. But he doesn't stop there, doesn't he? He then says this, be ye steadfast. He then tells them, quit you like men. Be strong. You see, a part of my Christian living and watching for the second coming of Jesus is making certain that I remain strong, steadfast, faithful in my service to the Almighty God. Thirdly, as we think about the Lord's coming, we need to be serious. Folks, Christianity is no laughing matter. It's not some game that God is playing with us. This is real stuff. We go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:6, and Paul says, let us not sleep, and then listen to what he says, as others do. There's a lot of individuals who are sleeping when it comes to their Christianity. And then he says this, but let us watch. Now watch this word and be sober. This is serious. God has given us directions. God has given us instructions. God has told us exactly what He wants us to do in order to be ready when He comes again. And every one of us needs to be serious about that. It's no laughing matter. It's not a joke. And one day, when He comes again, we're going to realize how serious it all really, really is. But then it's too late, isn't it? So be serious. Notice also, don't give in to afflictions. Paul was writing to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, and he says, watch ye. That's how he begins 2 Timothy 4:5. And then he says this, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, I need you to watch. And as you're watching, I need you to be able to endure afflictions. Folks, this old life is not easy. And Satan takes advantage of any and every opportunity to afflict our Christian lives. He doesn't want us to be faithful. He doesn't want us to go to heaven. He wants us to be lost. He wants us to burn in hell with Him. And He will do anything He possibly can to deter us and to lead us astray. And as we go through our trials and troubles and difficulties, guess what we have to do? We have to endure afflictions. It's a part of our watchfulness. In addition, we need to practice holiness. We live in a corrupt world, don't we? We live in a world where Satan is constantly trying to get us to sin against our God. A while ago we made mention that John said that when Jesus comes that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In verse 3 he says this, every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see, if I really believe that Jesus is coming, I'm going to practice purity and holiness in this world. And the last one, folks, always be doing. Always be doing. Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh, shall find him so doing. That's what Matthew says in Matthew 24, verse 46. What do I need to be doing? How much do I need to be doing? Folks, it's not a matter of how much. It's a matter of doing for the Master. Don't ever quit. Don't ever stop. Don't ever let your guard down. Always make sure that I am doing what God wants me to do as revealed in the pages of His Word. Be doing. You see, my being prepared means that when Jesus has come, I'm ready to stand before Him and give an account. That's what that means. Because that's what's going to happen, isn't it? That's what is going to transpire the minute He comes back. All nations will be gathered around Him. And He'll separate the sheep from the goats. And we will give an account of all that we've done in our bodies, whether it's good or bad. And being ready means I'm ready to give an account. Jesus told a parable on one occasion about 10 virgins, didn't He? 5 of them were ready, and 5 were not ready. You and I today need to resolve that we're going to be ready. Let me show you why. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. And while they went to buy, talking about the 5 that weren't ready, didn't have the oil that they needed, went off to the store to buy the oil. The Bible says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Now listen to what the text says. And they that were ready went in with him. Now here's the finality. And the door was shut. The door was shut. 5 were ready. You see, the bridegroom's coming, folks. There's no doubt about that. And if I'm ready, guess what I get to do? I get to go in to the wedding feast with Him. And once we are in, guess what happens? The door is shut. Now that's in verse 10. If you read in verse 11, you find that the 5, after they had gone to buy the oil, come back. They knock on that door. And they cry out to the bridegroom, "Let us in! Let us in! Open the door! Open the door!" Verse 12 is his response. "I knew you not." Wow. There is no opening the door. Folks, once He comes and the door is shut, if we're not ready to go in with Him, there are no further preparations that can be made. We've got to resolve in our minds right now at the close of 2017 that I'm going to be ready when Jesus comes again. So we close with one question. It's pretty simple. If you don't know what it is, I'm about to tell you. It's this one right here. Well, I said I was, didn't I? Messed up. It's awful. The joys of technology. There it is. I thought. Unbelievable. Here we go. Are you ready? That's the question. Are you ready? I don't know when He's coming, do you? Here's what I always think when I talk about this subject. What if right now, we heard the trump of God, we heard the voice of the archangel, and we all ran outside and we looked into the air, and there Jesus was coming with all His holy angels with Him. I ask myself right now, Would I be ready? There's something in here that you need to do to make yourself ready. We want you to do that this afternoon. Don't leave unprepared. Don't do that. If you're not a Christian, we want you to be. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins, you can become ready, can't you? We bury the old man of sin. We arise to walk in newness of life in Christ, ready for our Lord's return. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Be honest. Are you ready?